Hey.
Wise Dan's got him! Wise Dan! Brilliant in the mile!
But there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field.
Six.
And Coach Zephyr is pulling away impressively.
Five.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they ask, the more he gave.
Four.
And it's a vintage performance by Vino Russo!
Three.
Here is our Kang to win it in an absolute shocker. He's 99-1.
Two.
He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
One.
Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome. Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
This is the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN. Now, let's go live to our HRRN studios and join host Bobby Newman.
Pleasant good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman alongside Jim Feld for our final of three Breeders' Cup Countdowns for this strangest of strange years, 2020. We welcome you once again. We've got a power-packed next 2 hours here on the program. I want to let you know about everything that's going on. First, welcome in my good friend Jude. Jude, we've had an interesting last 24 hours Breeders' Cup-wise, and we're kind of at the point with only one day till Breeders' Cup Friday where no news is good news, but unfortunately, it hasn't been a no-news 24 hours with the defection of Vekoma in this year's Breeders' Cup Sprint.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You know, he's a very nice horse, and he's had some issues along the way and coming off a long layoff and stuff. And I guess he spiked a fever yesterday. And so he's going to be out, but there's still some great horses in that race, and it's going to be a magnificent 2 days. Forecast for tomorrow, 70 degrees. Forecast for Saturday, 72 degrees. Supposed to be sunny and clear, and the kind of day at Keeneland that everybody hopes to get whenever they schedule a trip there. So nobody has any excuses for not enjoying the 2 days of racing. It's spectacular cards both days and just magnificent conditions, so we're in good shape.
Yeah, it's perfect weather not only for the horses based here in the States, but especially the runners coming over from Europe. We had mentioned it, some of the Breeders' Cups in the past in warmer, more humid weather locations like Gulfstream Park in South Florida, it's like sometimes out at Santa Anita in Southern California, the weather can be much warmer, it can be a much more humid conditions. It doesn't play well for those shipping in from Europe who are not used to those hot, humid conditions. Not going to have to worry about that this weekend at Keeneland, even though it is warming up. It's warming up to where, as you said, it will be closer to around 70 degrees both days. Very little chance of rain, not heavy on humidity. Should be great conditions for all runners as they go into the race. And sad to see that Vekoma won't run. You know, Vekoma at one point this year, Jude, was probably as impressive, if not more impressive, than any other horse in training in this country. He's 3-for-3 this year. A runaway win in the Grade 1 Carter, a very impressive wire-to-wire score in the Met Mile. Got hurt after that, was on the comeback trail, now the little fever. Don't know if we'll see him back on the track before the end of the year, but as fans, I really hope to see him back in training next year because, boy, he really looked like he was an up-and-comer, and we wish him and his connections the best. On the bright side, the Coolmore horses have cleared quarantine at Keeneland, and they are on the track for the first time this morning. And when I say Coolmore, I mean all of the Aiden O'Brien entrance, and usually a spectacle when they come onto the track, Jude, wherever they go, because they line up. It's very regimented, and it's very impressive to look at, different than what we see for horses that train here in this country.
Yeah, it really is impressive. It's one of the most unique situations for Americans to witness, just a brigade of Coolmore horses coming out on the track. It's like, wow. You feel like, you know, the cavalry has arrived or whatever. I mean, it's kind of an awe before the sacred feeling. And those horses are, you know, impeccably taken care of and very, very classy. And just watching them come on, you know, 7, 8, 9 at a time is fantastic.
Really fun to watch, and hopefully our eyes and ears on the ground at Keeneland, Acacia Courtney, will get a look at the Coolmore runners for the first time today. Acacia will join us in her regular spot, 9:40 a.m. this morning, and she's been fantastic for us, giving us everything that's going on live on track the last couple of days, and I'm sure she will have plenty to say about what she sees this morning as well. In addition to that, this is WinStar Week all week here on the network, and not only have we been, you know, lauding what WinStar has stallion-wise and previewing what they have going in the Breeders' Cup, their stallions represented all day, both Friday and Saturday, with big runners. They're part owners of both Improbable and Global Campaign. They actually bred Global Campaign, bred Swiss Skydiver. Improbable, Global Campaign, Tom's d'Etat, all set to join the WinStar Stallion roster beginning next year. And this morning, we will be joined by the president of WinStar Farm, former trainer Elliot Walden. And he'll get to let us know everything that he's got going on over at WinStar. It's just a fantastic operation, and they are looking forward to a big next 2 days on the racetrack. In addition, Fasig Tipton's got a lot going on in the next few days. The Breeders' Cup takes place tomorrow and Saturday, but the November sale at Fasig Tipton begins at 2 p.m. on Sunday. They're going to sell, I believe they sell weanlings on Sunday, Jude, and then they sell horses that are racing and or breeding stock starting on Monday. And you can get the roster of everything that they're selling, the catalog for this sale, right on their website, fasigtipton.com. But just to give you a little bit of a preview, 9 horses scheduled to run in this year's Breeders' Cup will be in the sales ring on Monday and offered up at Fasig Tipton. In the Midst of Biz, Sally's Curlin, Got Stormy, Into Mystic, Rushing Fall, Uni, Monomoy Girl, Point of Honor, and Valiance, all of them running in Breeders' Cup races this weekend, all of them scheduled to sell at Fasig Tipton on Monday. That's going to be exciting, too, and I think you can watch and wager on all the action right on their website at fasigtipton.com. Well, coming up on the show, I mentioned that we've got a power-packed show this morning. Elliot Walden will join us from WinStar. Acacia Courtney will be back in her normal spot at 9:40 a.m. Max Hodge, the Vice President of Client Services at Fasig Tipton, will join us today. Aaron Wellman, the President of Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners, on the show as well. They've got 6 runners entered in the 2 days in the Breeders' Cup and a lot of big chances. Speaking of big chances, Wesley Ward, he's got 8 two-year-olds in the bodies of the fields on Friday. No runners on Saturday. 8 two-year-olds on Friday. He also has 3 on the also-eligible list of the Juvenile Turf Sprint. And by the way, if he had his druthers, he'd have more. And there were 17 Wesley Ward horses entered in Breeders' Cup races. He's got 8 that are scheduled to go tomorrow. That should be exciting. Been looking forward to see what Wesley has to say. But coming up, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to jockey Flavien Pratt, always one of the top riders out in Southern California. He's going to have a busy 2 days. He has 8 horses he is scheduled to ride in the Breeders' Cup races. He actually has 9 he's named on, but Ping Zhang is on the also eligible list of the Dirt Mile. Most likely won't get in, but 8 for Flavien Pratt. And he puts good rides on horses more often than not. Be interesting to see what he has to say as he gets ready for the big 2 days at Keeneland. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN.
consistently versatile with 19 grade one winners on every surface from 6 furlongs to 1.25 miles all over the world. 3 new grade one winners in 2020.
Echo Town wins the Allen Turkey Stakes.
And Lady Spike Spear has gone on to win the Natalba by 3/4, Alda.
All purpose, all places, all power, Spikestown.
Standing at Windstar Farm.
Bolt Doro, America's fastest multiple grade one winning juvenile since Uncle Mo. Bolt Doro scored dominating victories in the grade one Del Mar Futurity and grade one Frontrunner Stakes, earning a 103 buyer speed figure, the fastest by a two-year-old since 2014.
We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the Frontrunner.
Bolt Doro's first weanlings are electric. Look for them next week at Keeneland and Fasig Tipton. Bolt Doro, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
What do these Breeders' Cup starters have in common? Swiss Skydiver, Tom's Daytaw, By My Standards, Serengeti Empress, CeCe, Improbable, Frank's Raquette, Ollie's Candy, Venetian Harbor, CZ Rocket, and Pirate's Punch. They all started at Oaklawn in 2020. Make plans now to join us for the richest winter race meet in the country from January 22nd to May 1st. Stall applications are now available at oaklawn.com. Oaklawn, a new level of racing.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Hey everyone, it's Mike Penna. You know, every Saturday morning I have the privilege of visiting with the top owners, trainers, breeders, jockeys, and industry professionals in the sport of thoroughbred racing on our Equine Forum show. We call the Equine Forum the show that launched a network because it was our original show that started it all more than 15 years ago. So be sure to join me every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern as I take you inside the world of thoroughbred racing. It's the Equine Forum, Saturdays, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201. And streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
This is Chris Landeros. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Obviously by a length to Pure Sensation, hooking across his heels, Holy Loop 2 lengths back, third from Mongolian Saturday, Ambitious Brewers Wider from Home of the Brave and Carrah, and Washington DC making ground along the rail. 3/16 to go, and obviously clear from Pure Sensation, several more lengths to Holy Loot. Washington DC on the inside is next from Om, obviously as the leader, 2 lengths still from Pure Sensation. Om is coming home fast, it's obviously Om is rocketing to the wire, obviously needs the line, it's close, obviously Orom from Pure Sensation and either Calgary Cat or Green Mask for the fourth spot.
Stretch call of the 2016 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, won by obviously ridden masterfully by Flavien Prat. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, part of Windstar Week, all week here on HRRN. Bobby Newman alongside Jude Feld. Pleased now to be joined by the gentleman who rode, obviously, to that Breeders' Cup win, Flavien Prat. Flavien, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Flavien, you've been a busy man over the last few years, not only winning races in bunches all over Southern California, contending for riding titles wherever you go, Santa Anita, Del Mar. You had a huge year last year, winning both the Kentucky Derby with Country House, the Queen's Plate with One Bad Boy, and you're back on the big stage again this weekend here at Keeneland, riding 8 horses in the Breeders' Cup Championship races. So let's dive right in and start with the horses you're riding on Friday. You're aboard Abeco in the Juvenile Turf, Madone in the Juvenile Fillies Turf. I know you've been aboard Madone in all 3 of her career starts, and she's undefeated right now for trainer Simon Callahan. All 3 races at the 1 mile distance, going around 2 turns, all 3 victories coming from about 4 or 5 lengths off the pace to get up and win in the final strides or in the last 16. Give us your impressions of Madone, and how has she matured as she looks forward to this race?
Well, I mean, as you say, she's been undefeated. She's done everything right so far. She's really professional. She's really easy to ride and does everything right. So, I mean, it's gonna be a step up, but I'm sure she's gonna run well.
You know, when I write about you, I call you a difference-making jockey. There's so few jockeys, in my opinion, that really can make a difference in a race. And you do such a great job. Is it your preparation or your focus or your strategy going in? What do you think separates you from a lot of other riders?
Well, I don't know. Well, thank you for the kind word. I don't know. It's I really try to dedicate myself to do the right thing. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm going to do the right thing, but, yeah, definitely try to, you know, walk out, try to watch races and, you know, see what's going on. But, it's you know, it doesn't work out all the time anyway.
Yeah, the plans can sometimes go awry, but it helps if you have several plans going in, especially in these big races.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in those big races, it's really hard to make a plan because there's a lot of tension, and so you don't know exactly how people is going to react. But just try to go with the flow and just try to do what's right for the horse. And just see how it feels, you know. And well, sometimes they walk, sometimes they don't. But I think I just try to keep the thing simple.
Talking with Flavien Prat, rides 8 horses in this year's Breeders' Cup races. He's got 2 on Friday. He's got 6 on Saturday, and rides Back United, who makes his second appearance in the Breeders' Cup. Turf ran huge last year, Flavien, with you aboard when he came from just off the pace. He actually took the lead at the top of the stretch at odds of 51-1, a huge long shot that day, and was run down by Horse of the Year Bricks and Mortar in the Shadow of the Wire. It looks on paper like United has come back in 2020 every bit as good as he was last year. Not going to be 50-1 this year, 8-1 on the morning line. Give us your impressions of United, and how do you like him coming into the big race?
Well, as you said, it was a bit of an upset last year, but since then he showed that he was a good horse, and he's been great all year long. He's been training great, he's been running great all year long. So hopefully he can run a good race again this year. I mean, I think he's gonna like Kinnon. It's a pretty open race, but if he runs the same race as last year, I mean, he definitely have, a big chance.
I know you spend a lot of time with these horses in the mornings. You're one of the guys that comes out and works horses and gets to know them, and you know, that's a big edge going into these races, because you know, a lot of times riders have only been on the horse once or maybe never, but you're on these horses a lot. Talk about that.
Yeah, as you say, try to spend a lot of time in the morning and try to understand, you know, how they are and how they feel. There's actually some horses where it's better to stay away from them, just, you know, just riding in the race. But there's a lot of horses where I like to, you know, just see how they feel and how they're doing. It gives you also a lot of confidence when a horse is doing well in the morning. It gives you a lot of confidence for the race as well.
Flavien, when you get to big races like this, or it's not even just big races, it's any races that you're riding, in addition to instructions from the trainer, are you doing any homework as far as reading past performances or maybe looking at old replays to figure out, you know, where the best place for you to be at the points of the race would be?
I do. I watch But I watch replay all year long, you know, like, you know, on Saturday I try to watch all the stakes from different states. And so I usually know, you know, who I'm running against. I like to know who's the best horse in the race and who's the horse that you try to not follow and try to avoid. So that's what I try to do. But I'm not crazy about, you know, looking at PPs and studying them for hours, because, like I said earlier, you know, you make a plan and, I mean, you break out of the gate and it's the opposite. So, you know, I just try to go with the flow, but in the meantime, try to know who I'm running against as well.
What about the difference between riding the turf races and the dirt races? Do you have to kind of change your style, or can you ride them both the same way?
Well, I mean, it's a bit different. You can be a lot more patient on the grass and try to save ground. Where on the dirt, it's all about speed and being in a good spot. When it's a two turn going into the first turn, and so no, it's a different riding style. But I think you get used to adjust. You know, when you ride so many a day, you naturally adjust yourself to a dirt or turf.
Flavian, you, like so many other riders in this country right now and around the world, are dealing with the protocols that have been set due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And even as recently as this last weekend, there was a little bit of news that you were out at Keeneland working horses on Saturday, but because of that, you couldn't get back to ride horses at Del Mar on opening weekend because you would have had to quarantine. How difficult has this been for you and your fellow riders, you know, dealing with these different protocols and when you have to be certain places at certain times and taking certain tests just to be able to ride?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not easy. You know, there's a lot of testing and as you say, I was in Keeneland and I couldn't ride in Denmark. So, you know, you get this choice to be made. I pretty much didn't travel all year long. I mean, I went to Auckland earlier in the year, but that's about it. After that, you know, I stay pretty much home. I mean, it's not easy, but in the meantime, it could be a lot worse. There's people who don't have job. We are able to, you know, keep doing what we love to do. And, I mean, just Breeders' Cup, if you think about it, I don't know. I mean, in August or July, I didn't know if we were gonna run Breeders' Cup. And, I mean, I think it's so great that we're able to do it. And it's one of the best. It's one of the best weekend of the year besides the Derby. So I think it's great that we are able to participate at that weekend, and hopefully we can do well.
Well, you recently had a baby, and how is it being a father and having to juggle that as well as traveling and riding and all that stuff? Are you having a good time?
Yeah. Well, not last night. I had to. She didn't want to sleep, so no, it wasn't fun. But no. Otherwise, it's really cool. It kind of changed. I mean, you know, I guess everybody said that, but it's now I understand that it kind of changed my life. And you know, it's fun. It's a lot of good time, and I really enjoy it.
That's great. I always worry about, like, baseball players and stuff not getting a lot of sleep, you know. I don't worry about it so much with jockeys because they don't get a lot of sleep anyway. But it's that's great. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Well, thank you.
Flavian, one last question before you go. Since you ride mainly in Southern California, they have instituted a new whip rule for the jockeys to follow within the last couple of months out there. And there's been a lot of backlash. I'm wondering how difficult it's been for you and maybe some of your fellow riders out there to adjust to the new policies, how often you're allowed to whip a horse, how you have to whip underhanded instead of overhanded. How difficult is that change?
Well, it's not easy. Coming from France, when I was riding in France, there was already I think it was eight limit, you know, the limitation was 8 times. So I was kind of used to that, but then, you know, after that you get a judge on with the underhanded, which is really hard and unnatural. So that's I think to me it's the hardest point to have to hit underhanded, where overhanded it's a lot more natural, it's a lot more easy to switch the sticks and be a lot quicker to correct the horse. But I mean, we try to adjust. It's like I said, it's not easy. I think that having a limitation of whipping, it's good. It gives a little bit of you know, it gives a bit of, how can I say that? I lost my word, but I think it's not bad to have a limitation. Now, the underhanded, it's really hard to adjust, but we will adjust. We'll be fine.
Well, Flavian, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us this morning. Wish you the best of luck both Friday and Saturday in the Breeders' Cup races, and really enjoy watching you ride most of the year out in Southern California. Good luck, my friend.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and have a good day.
Jockey Flavian Pratt set to ride 8 horses in this year's Breeders' Cup Championship events. He is going to be busy as usual, and he puts good rides on those horses more often than not, Jude. He is a guy that you can count on, and year after year contends to be leading rider at all the meets out in Southern California. He's a good guy, and he's very, very capable of guiding some of these bigger-priced runners into good trips and contending. He showed it with the United last year, who almost beat the horse of the year, Bricks and Mortar, in the Breeders' Cup turf.
Yeah, it's one of the great things about him is he never looks at the tote board. He's just out there riding the horse, and he does a fantastic job.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will speak with the man who is probably more associated with two-year-old racing than anyone in the world right now, trainer Wesley Ward. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championship.
There's a corner of Kentucky in Bourbon County, which some refer to as the Promised Land. There's something in the soil and water that make it something special. So special that some of the world's greatest horsemen have staked their claim in the soil just outside of Paris. Iconic names such as Claiborne, Coolmore, Stone, and Darley grace the fence lines which have housed champions for generations. The name Alapa shines as a tribute to the Gilded Age, sharing the stature and grandeur of its neighbors. Born from the wealth, passion, and imagination of Edward Sims, no expense was spared to fulfill his vision. Sims was in the same league as John Madden and Arthur B. Hancock Sr. as a commercial breeder. The torch has been passed. Welcome to Hill and Dale at Alapa.
The championship season returns to Gulfstream Park this December. Thoroughbred stakes action returns with the claiming crown, the Fort Lauderdale, the Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup, the Fountain of Youth Stakes, the Grade 1 Florida Derby, and much, much more. Stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with the First Bet app, the official app of Gulfstream Park. First Bet offers AI-predicted picks, high-definition live stream races, replays, and live betting from the palm of your hand.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man. Tough, sound, durable. A stakes winner at 3, 4, 5, and 6, who competed in all 3 Triple Crown races before turning 3 years old, and capped a stellar career with a determined victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic over champions Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home. Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War. Will Take Charge, a final man. Mucho Macho Man.
Mucho Macho Man has produced 2 first crop Grade 1 winners, one on dirt.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup. He won it by 5 lengths.
And one on turf.
And the California bred Mucho Unusual all the way in the Rodeo Drive.
The number one North American sire by 2020 average earnings per runner is Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The field turns for home, and it's Stormcat. Stormcat leads by 3/4 of a length. Scat Dancer surging on the outside. Regal Dreamer is racing in third. Mugambo and Tussle full of run on the outside. They're inside the final furlong, and it is Stormcat who leads by 2.5 lengths. Tasso is full of run. They're running out of ground. Stormcat, Tasso, here's the wire, and it is too close to call. It's a photo finish. It can go either way. Was it Tasso? Was it Stormcat? I can't split them. The final time in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, 1:36-1.
Tom Durkin on the call of the second ever Breeders' Cup Juvenile held in 1985, and Tasso gets up in the final jump to nail Stormcat. Stormcat, of course, would go on to be a super sire, more known for his duties after the races than in the races, but Tasso getting up in the final jump to nail Stormcat in that thrilling renewal of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, part of Winstar Week, all week here on the network. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld. Well, Wesley Ward didn't train Tasso back in 1985, but when you think of developing young thoroughbreds around the world, no name is more associated with it than trainer Wesley Ward. Wesley has 8 runners on Future Stars Friday. And you know what? If they would have split some of the races, he would have had a whole lot more. 17 actually were entered for the races. 8 got into the bodies of the race. 3 on also eligibles. Please now to be joined by Wesley Ward. Wesley, thanks for joining us here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown.
Hello.
Hey, Wesley, how are you this morning?
Good, thank you. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. You're busy today. I think you're going to be busier tomorrow, my friend. 8 runners in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile races on Future Stars Friday. Let's jump right into it with the Juvenile Turf Sprint. You've got 4 runners in the race, Amanzi Impilo, After 5, Into the Sunrise, and the probable favorite, Golden Pal. By the way, three on the also eligibles list. When you have this many horses that are pointed for one race, how does that go? How do you, you know, deal with the owners in trying to decide who's going to go where and, you know, how are they coming into this spot?
You know, they kind of sort themselves out along the way. And then you have an idea what will be their ideal distance and surfaces. So, you know, it's pretty easy.
Does it give you a headache sometimes? I mean, I remember running 3 horses in a grade one time. It was like, for a little trainer like I was, that you'd think that would be a big deal, but it was a gigantic headache because the owners were very competitive and stuff. Does that ever enter into it?
Not really. It did at first, just like you were talking about, Jude. Like, I was thinking one guy'd get mad if the other guy's horse beats him and whatever, but you know they know now that, you know, everybody's going out there to trying to win, and I'm trying to do the best with each and every horse as an individual and pointing for that race, and if one horse beats another, it's horse racing.
Wesley, when Golden Pal last raced in the Skidmore up at Saratoga, he went wire to wire in one of the most visually impressive 2-year-old races that we've seen this year. He actually covered the 5.5 furlongs in 1:04. We thought we were going to see him last month in a race at Keeneland, but he was scratched, and you opted to train him into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint instead. How's he doing, and what's he been doing since we last saw him?
He's been doing great, this whole year. We put him in the race. He was actually ready to run a little bit for monetary reasons. The owner was like, hey, can we enter and take a look at it? Because it's an all-expense-paid berth if you win. And ultimately, I said, look, he's going to be breezing in 47s on the grass here at Keeneland all the way up to the race. But if he runs in that race, he's going to have to go 44s and change the first half mile. And there was no doubt in my mind anyway, he said he was going to win. But it's just the toll it would have taken on the horse. You just never know when they're giving you 110% how he's going to come out of there. If there's going to be any chinks in the armor. And I just said, better err on the side of caution, train him into the race, and that's what we did. The decision was made, and that's what we did.
I've had a lot of people ask me about the 14 post, and I tell them not to worry about post position. What's your feeling?
With this horse, and essentially any horse that has speed that I have in a sprint, I prefer the outside draw. This way, it gives the rider the opportunity to, if something happens, leave him in the break where he's just off a step slow, he doesn't have to rush because he doesn't have the outside pressure at all. He can, just let the horse take his time to get into stride the first couple, a little bit away from the gate. So if I was to, as in the past, when the trainer got to go up and pick his post position, this would have been the post position I would have picked.
Wow, that's great. I love that. That's perfect.
Speaking with Wesley Ward, who trains 8 horses on Future Stars Friday in the Breeders' Cup. We've been talking about the juvenile turf sprint, but you've got a couple of other 2-year-olds who have been very good sprinters thus far, but will be stretching out for the first time. Out of door in the juvenile turf, 2-for-2 sprinting thus far, has never tried 2 turns. Campanelle, filly in the juvenile fillies turf, she's been remarkable sprinting in her 3 starts, 1 at Gulfstream, 1 at Ascot, and 1 at Dovey, and she stretches out as well. How do you decide when to stretch these runners out? Because they look like they would be major players in the turf sprint as well.
You're kind of watching. First of all, you see the physique of the horse. And, if they're a bigger horse with a long stride, and then as the races unfold, you can tell which ones settle early and would have a big finishing kick. A lot of horses mind the ones that are keyed up. They certainly can't handle that easy part of the race and then to sustain it. Golden Powell would be one. Just looking at him physically and knowing his lineage, his pedigree, you'd say he's just a pure sprinter. So that's why we've opted just to keep him in the sprints and going to moving forward as well.
Campanelle's been so impressive, and she's got a very high racing post rating. She's done everything you've asked of her, and Frankie Dettori seems to fit her like a glove. Do you envision her going to the lead, or what kind of trip are you thinking about for her?
Well, I never do tell Frankie anything. I just give him a little insight on the horse, and he's already has a plan mapped out early on after he gets the form and analyzes the different horses and the different riders, especially in the race. And then he'll already come in the paddock. I've got it. I don't need to talk. I've got it. So that's usually what he tells me. So he's a professional from that standpoint.
It's a good trait to have, knowing that your rider's on top of things and really focused just as you are. You also have Next, who figures to be one of the long shots in this year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Super impressive in his last start, a race that was scheduled for the turf and moved over to the main track at Keeneland, a main track that was labeled good. He won off by 11 lengths that day, and it looks like to me he's a horse that has improved markedly with each subsequent start. How's he been doing since that last race? He's going to make a kind of a quick turnaround here. That last race only 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's something I generally don't do. But this being his home track, the owners, Tommy and Bonnie Hamilton, are keen to run, especially being their home track where they live, and their farm's just down the street where they breed the horses. So we entered kind of take a look at the race, and more so to take a look at the horse to see how he's doing. But the horse, I told him, Tommy, each and every day when I talked to him, I say, I'm looking for a reason to tell you no, and I can't see it. He's got to get led to the track and led back because he feels so good. And that's the kind of demeanor that the colt has. But, I'm like I say, it's I don't like to run horses back in that short a rest, especially at a race of this magnitude, but we're going to take a shot.
Well, they're such great people to train for, and they love the game, so it's nice that they're going to be able to participate.
Well, we're a little bit of an outsider as far as odds-wise, but like I say, it's a home court advantage, so we're going to take advantage of it.
Wesley, one more. I know you're very busy. Speaking, going back to looking at like the fillies that you have in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, Campanelle and Royal Approval, these are two fillies that you ship to Europe to run at Royal Ascot and or Deauville. Royal Approval has already come back and won twice in the States since her trip over to Great Britain. Campanelle will be making her first stateside run since she was over there. Are there any tricks to the trade or anything you found at when they're shipping back and forth like this, getting them to be fit on their toes and ready to fire big shots off those, you know, long journeys?
I think time, you know, it's always good to give them time when they get back off a big trip like that, you know, whether it be when they come back from Ascot. It's always about 2 months before I go back over there if I'm going to go into the races in France in the morning or something like that. But I think that's just about it. And it's the same thing when they do come back. If we're going to run them here, I like to give them a good amount of time to get over the trip, put all their weight back on, and a few works, really, really solid breezes where you can visually see that they're coming into their own.
Wesley, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us this morning. Best of luck both, I was going to say tomorrow and Saturday, but it's tomorrow. Best of luck tomorrow with all eight of your two-year-olds set to go on Future Stars Friday, and really appreciate the time. Best of luck going forward.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on, and everybody, I hope everybody gets lucky tomorrow.
Well, we certainly hope he's right about that. Trainer Wesley Ward, he has eight juveniles set to go tomorrow on Future Stars Friday. Amanzi Yimpilo, After Five, Into the Sunrise, Golden Pal in the Juvenile Turf Sprint, Out of Door in the Juvenile Turf, Campanelle Royal Approval in Juvenile Phillies Turf, and next in the Juvenile. Jude, he is going to be a big, busy man. He's going to have to enlist a lot of his help when it comes to saddling horses and taking care of these runners, especially in the paddock, and most notably in that juvenile turf sprint. Not only four in the body of the field, but if somebody somehow scratches tomorrow, he's got three on the also eligibles list.
Yeah, well, he's got a great crew. He's got a fantastic staff. Some of his riders are Hall of Famers. I mean, you know, you just can't say enough for his stable and their organization. And lately he's been running horses everywhere, not just Europe, but, you know, shipping to New York, shipping here, shipping there. Every time there's a two-year-old race, it seems like he's got one in it at racetracks all over the nation. So, he'll be well taken care of tomorrow.
And it's even more difficult in this pandemic year shipping horses all over not only the nation but the world because of protocols and time frames. So I'm sure that he is crunching numbers and well on top of when and where he needs to do what and be at certain places to make sure that everything falls into place. Wesley Ward, primed for a big day tomorrow on Future Stars Friday. When we come back, we're going to switch gears and speak with Aaron Wellman. He's the president of Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners. They've had a fantastic last 5 years on the racetrack, and they look like they've got big shots this weekend as well in the Breeders' Cup World Championships. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN.
Flatter. This prolific son of AP Indy has sired six millionaires, including Eclipse champion West Coast. He's adding even more stakes winners to his outstanding record, including Sovereign Award winner Avies Flatter. His yearlings have topped the Phasic Tipton July sale 2 years in a row and sold up to $900,000 at Keelan September. Success on the track, success in the ring. Flatter, standing at Claiborne Farm.
In 1993, Dr. John West showed that EIPH occurs during exercise when blood vessels in the lungs rupture. This is due to stress caused by high blood pressure on the inside of the vessels and strong suction forces on the outside. Only flare strips and Lasix, used together or alone, have been clinically proven to reduce EIPH. Lasix works by reducing the high internal pressures, and flare strips work by reducing the suction forces on the outside. See the science at flarestrips.com.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport comes business advisory expertise providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence. Located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton, business advisors, CPAs, consultants. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
This is jockey Julian Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
This is Windstar Week on HRRN, celebrating the horses of Windstar Farm.
They're coming to the top of the stretch, and Blushing John is under a hand ride. He leads by a length and a half. Sunday Silence, a threatening presence on the outside. Easy Goer is set down, and he's put to a fierce drive. Coming to the final furlong, Sunday Silence surges to the front. Blushing John trying to fight back. Easy Goer with one final acceleration, and Sunday Silence holds on, and he wins by a desperate neck. Easy Goer was too late, not enough to win it, and it was Sunday Silence in a racing epic.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 1989 Breeders' Cup Classic at Gulfstream Park. And it was the final showdown between Sunday Silence and Easy Goer. And as Sunday Silence did in both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, he got the better of Easy Goer. Easy Goer got him in a big way in the Belmont, but Sunday Silence winning the Derby, the Preakness, and the Breeders' Cup Classic that year in a great renewal at Gulfstream Park. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, part of Windstar Week, all week here on the network. Bobby Newman along with Jude Feld. Pleased to be joined now by the president of Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners, Aaron Wellman. Aaron, you guys have six big chances in this year's Breeders' Cup races. How do you even sleep at night?
I'm not sleeping for good reason this week. Thanks to the partners that support us and some fantastic horses that are performing, and our trainers for getting them here. We're locked and loaded, and we're eager to get to Friday and Saturday.
A lot of people, you know, like to enter in the Breeders' Cup for the experience or whatever, and the horses don't have a chance. But when you go down the list of horses you have entered, they're live in every race. How'd you pull that one off?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Jude. We're not the type of operation that likes to just see our name in the program and show up for a free meal. We definitely want to show up at these big days and these big races with legitimate contenders, and I feel like you feel, which is I think all six of them in the five races that they're in are live. You know, I don't think any of them are going to be favorites or prohibitive favorites, but they're all in with the right crowd, watching them all train the last few days out here at Keeneland, and touch wood, everybody seems to be in the zone and thriving. So couldn't ask for anything more going into these races, and hopefully they show up on the occasion and give our partners a thrill.
Boy, just one time I would love for somebody to say, well, we're just actually here for the free tickets and the free meal. Even the connections of Rick's Natural Star back in the day didn't say that they were there for the free meal. But let's get into the runners that you have in the next 2 days at Keeneland. You've got three of them on Friday, three on Saturday. We'll start with both Dirty Dangle and the Juvenile Turf Sprint, Gretzky the Great and the Juvenile Turf. These are two horses that a lot of those of us here in the States haven't got to see a whole lot of because they've been doing their racing north of the border at Woodbine. Dirty Dangle, 2-for-2 in his career, coming off a nice win in the Woodbine Cares last time out, goes for new trainer Mark Cassie for the first time on Friday. And then Gretzky the Great has been as impressive as anybody getting ready for his run in the Breeders' Cup, coming off a resounding win in the Grade 1 Summer. How have these horses looked coming into these races, and you know, how far in advance do you kind of look toward the Breeders' Cup when you have these talented two-year-olds?
Absolutely. Well, Dirty Dangle is actually a filly that we just purchased privately after she won the Woodbine Cares, so this will be her first start for us. But you know, we're always on the prowl scouring the globe for talent, and this filly really caught our eye with her win in that stakes race sprinting on the grass up there at Woodbine. She's shown a beautiful turn of foot, and we were able to put together a deal to acquire privately in partnership with Gary Barber, turned her over to Martin Cassie. Ralph Biamonte had done a really nice job with her, but Mark's our main man up there in Toronto. And, you know, you talk about spacing. Both she and Gretzky the Great have had a lot of time since their most recent race to get to the Breeders' Cup, so it's felt like an eternity. But we're hoping that, you know, for these babies that are seasoned, Dirty Dangle's got two wins under her belt and her two lifetime starts. Gretzky the Great's run four times, so he's got an excellent foundation, including a mile race. You know, we hope that the time has done them well. It certainly appears that way, and we're really excited about both of them. Dirty Dangle's got her work cut out for her. I think Wesley's colt on the outside, Golden Pal, is maybe cut from a different cloth than most of these. So if he fires, I think everybody's running for minor awards, but we'd be ecstatic if she came and picked up some pieces. And, you know, if anybody stubs their toe and she really rises to the occasion, she could get them all. Gretzky the Great, I would say, of our six runners in the Breeders' Cup races, he's probably what I would consider to be our best win chance. This is a horse that we've been exceptionally high on from the time we put a saddle on his back down in Ocala last winter. He has done everything right. He's got an incredible foundation underneath him. He was brilliant when he got the mile in the Summer Stakes, winning a Grade 1, winning your inn. He's trained absolutely out of his mind. I mean, Mark calls it monster mode. He's in monster mode right now. I've watched him train the last couple mornings here at Keeneland, and he certainly appears to be in great nick, and we're really excited. I think he's going to have to work out a trip from the 11 hole going the mile. We won it last year in the Phillies division of this race with sharing from the 11 hole, so hopefully we can roll that yo two times in a row here, and Gretzky should be able to trip out. He's very tactical, so we're looking forward to seeing what he can do. He's a very talented individual.
Well, yeah, he's something else. You also have my favorite 2-year-old turf filly, Spanish Love Affair, going in the Juvenile Fillies turf, and she ran a tremendous race in her debut. She's been developing nicely. I think she's got a bang up chance. And what are your impressions of her coming up to this race?
She's literally just finishing her gallop as we speak. I'm out here in the beard course shoot watching her train, and she looks sensational. She's a filly that we're really high on as well. It is a very tough, brutal, salty rendition of the Juvenile Fillies turf this year. The domestic horses are exceptional, and the European contingent, as always, is very strong. But this is a filly that we have a lot of confidence in. She won off by 11 first time out down at Gulfstream. Then she was very professional in winning a stake down there. We brought her up to the big leagues to run into Jessamine. She ran into Aunt Pearl. We had a wide draw that day. We've got to face another wide draw tomorrow. But I'm hoping from a pace perspective that Aunt Pearl, Campanelle, and Royal Approval kind of hook up early and file over. allow us to tuck in a little bit going to the first turn, because she's also drawn out in the 12 hole, which isn't exactly the best place to be. But we're hoping if those three fillies line up and we can tuck in and sit right behind them, we might be in the garden spot. And from there, it's just a matter of how good she is. I'm literally watching her walk off the track right now, and she certainly is touting herself. She's a lovely filly, and we're honored to have the opportunity to run her in the Breeders' Cup, and we'll just have to find out if she's good enough to compete with the best of the best.
Speaking with Aaron Wellman, the president of Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners, moving to Saturday, speaking of somebody who may tuck in down along the inside, Speech returns after a real troubled start in the Kentucky Oaks last time out, a race where I know you were really high on her chances. We all thought she had big chances, and she was kind of eliminated when the gates opened or shortly afterward, never really picked up her feet. Her prior start, though, at Keeneland in the Ashland, I think would make her very, very tough in this year's Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. How's Speech been doing since we last saw her?
She's doing awesome. It was a really frustrating day, Kentucky Oaks day, because she never really had an opportunity to get involved in the race. Unfortunately, she got jostled around at the start and never really got into any sort of comfortable position. She is a rhythm filly, and she was never able to find that rhythm. And hopefully, again, you know, similar to what I just described with Spanish Love Affair going a mile on the turf, we're hoping to execute a similar game plan in the sense that you've got Gamine in the two-hole, and then you've got Venetian Harbor and Serengeti Empress drawn a little bit further outside. And the three of those fillies are pretty one-dimensional. I think they're going to try their best to just blast out of there. You know, Serengeti Empress is a speed-only filly. They've made their intentions clear. Venetian Harbor's connections are of similar mindset, and Gamine really hasn't ever shown the ability to raid, although she might have to on Saturday. And if those fillies line up and we could stack them up across the track, Javier might just be gliding in right behind that flight. And, you know, if they happen to soften each other up, we could be in the garden spot and just finding our stride, you know, turning for home. So we like the cut back to 7/8. She's run fast races, ran one through in the past. I'm actually watching her come onto the racetrack as we speak. She looks fantastic. She broke the track record here in the Ashland a few months back. So we're looking forward to seeing what she can do. She's a three-year-old filly running against olders in a championship race. So that's no simple task. And we're intrigued by what she might do come Saturday.
Yeah, I love her on the cutback. I mean, I'm not one of those people that just bets every cutback that's entered in races, but I just think the race looks like it sets up good for her, and she's going to be a good number because there's a lot of fillies that are going to attract a lot of betting attention, and she might be an excellent play on Saturday.
There will be a worse $2 that we'll all throw away in the next couple days for sure.
Aaron, one last thing before you go. You guys have both Point of Honor and Valiance set to run in the Distaff on Saturday, and then both of them are set to go in the sales ring Monday at Fasig Tipton. How bittersweet is it seeing this, knowing that you're going to see these great fillies for the last time?
You know, when I started Eclipse 9 years ago, I was adamant that we needed to be founded on fillies, and we've even created a little hashtag for ourselves on Twitter, you know, Eclipse Philly, because that's what we take a lot of pride in. And to bring two regally bred fillies like Valiance, who we spent a lot of money for as a yearling, and thankfully she's panned out to become a great winner, and Point of Honor, a daughter of Curlin, who's also royally bred, who we bought off a maiden win out of her debut. You know, to bring these caliber of fillies with such incredible blood running through their veins, and they're so accomplished in their own right, it's a huge honor, and it really exemplifies what we've tried to do with the stable. So our only focus right now, to be honest with you, is getting them to Saturday's staff in the best condition possible, and by all accounts, watching them on the track, track. I mean, Valiance is just breathing fire. She's just getting so good right now. You know, she's going to have to run the race of her life to compete with Monomoy Girl and Swiss Skydiver, but we feel like she's going to. And Point of Honor is a filly that's going to creep in underneath the radar for sure. She's going to be a big price, but she's finally able to get around two turns again, going a mile and an eighth. If we get the pace we're expecting to get in the distaff, she could be very live coming from out of the clouds and, you know, pick up the pieces. Or if we get really lucky, she could blast by all of them. So, you know, they are entered in Phasix Night of the Stars on Sunday, but first things first, you know, we got to get to the races and try to get them to perform to the best of their ability, hopefully earn some more valuable black type in these championship races and continue to enhance their value. But I think they're both fillies that are capable of running next year. They've been pretty generously managed throughout their careers. I think there's plenty of gas left in the tank, but, you know, we got to run this like a business, and we'll see what happens Saturday and then evaluate Sunday. But it's a huge honor and very humbling to bring fillies like Valiance and Point of Honor to the distaff.
Aaron, we wish you the best of luck this weekend and going forward. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thanks for thinking of me, guys. Appreciate it. Good luck at the windows.
Appreciate it. You too. Aaron Wellman from Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
On Sunday, November 8th, after the Breeders' Cup, Phasic Tipton will offer a catalog of exceptional quality all in one spectacular session. A Night of Stars featuring champions, Breeders' Cup winners, classic winners, leading race fillies, world-class broodmares, and selected weanlings. Nearly 50 graded stakes winners and producers catalog, no less than 26 of which are Grade 1. The world's premier breeding stock event, the November Sale, November 8th in Lexington, Kentucky. With online bidding available, where will you be?
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Twins Fires is the best place to bet every Breeders' Cup race, and we have a fantastic bet back offer. Head to TwinsFires.com or the Twins Fires app, opt in with the code HRRNBC, and get up to $20 back if the horse you bet to win finishes second, and up to $10 back if the horse you bet to win finishes third on all Breeders' Cup races. That's right, get your bet back if you run second or third. Twins Fires, the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby. Additional terms apply to bonus. Must be 18 plus or legal wagering age. Void where prohibited. See TwinsFires.com for details. Terms and conditions apply. Wager responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800. Gambler.
Promises fulfilled.
Promises fulfilled.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and there goes Promises Fulfilled on to the lead, blazing first fraction. It's Strike Power taken on by Promises Fulfilled, a half mile in 43.92 seconds.
Good Magic has been defeated. The leader, Promises Fulfilled.
Promises Fulfilled is still there, close to home. Promises Fulfilled is going to win the Allen Jerkins.
Standing at Windstar Farm.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to Windstar Week on HRRN.
Astonishing pace here by Longshot Abundanza. Here comes Goldstorm to the attack on the outside. And Spikes Town down at the rail. Those three heading into the final furlong together. Spikes Town comes away with the lead. Spikes Town in front. Goldstorm battling on, but he is now spent. My Cousin Matt and Longshot Drake coming late. Buona Charlie on the far outside. Tila's coming late too, but it's going to be Spikes Town. Spikes Town wins by two on the wire. Tila comes from way out of it to be second. Longshot, My Cousin Matt was third. And there is a pumped up Johnny Velasquez. Another perfect ride this afternoon. He just puts on a display here of race riding ability. He cuts the corner with Spikes Town to win the sprint in 108 left.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 2004 Breeders' Cup Sprint, won by Spikes Town, one of many tremendous stallions standing now at Windstar Farm. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network. And welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN. It is WinStar Week, all week here on the network. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld, pleased to be joined now by the president, CEO, and racing manager of WinStar Farm, Elliot Walden. Elliot, thanks for taking time out this morning.
No problem. How you guys doing this morning?
Beautiful.
We're doing great, and boy, we are looking forward to, as racing fans and bettors, this is like Christmas to us, these next 2 days, the Breeders' Cup. But you at WinStar have so much on the line. I don't know how you can keep eyes on all of the runners that you'll have interest in. The Stallions represented by 8 runners tomorrow, 6 runners on Saturday. Runners like Royal Approval, Simply Ravishing, Nick's Go, Tis the Law, all sired by Stallions who are or were at WinStar Farm. The co-owners of both Improbable and Global Campaign set to run in the Breeders' Cup Classic. You guys bred Swiss Skydiver and Global Campaign. And if that's not enough, maybe the most remarkable thing of all, 3 runners in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic, Global Campaign, Tom's D'Etat, Improbable, all set to join the Stallion roster at WinStar Farm beginning 2021. Are you nervous, or is this just an super exciting time for you?
Hey, we're just real excited. We've been kind of waiting. You know, it looked like a couple months ago that we were going to be hopeful to have all 3 of those horses in the Classic, and to get this close now, it's you just get excited, and then they're all doing well, so that makes it even better.
Yeah, that's the cool thing, is that they're doing well and they all have a chance to win, and they're certainly going to be right there, all of them. I mean, this is like maybe the deepest Classic we've had in a long, long time. It's a really cool field of thoroughbreds, and to have 3 of them is just surreal, really.
Yeah, it's exciting, dude, and a 4th horse that we would hope one runs extremely well, and if he wins, it would be a great thing. Would be Tis the Law.
Yeah, absolutely. That's got to be kind of a sad thing for WinStar Farm to have Tis now retire from stallion duty. But what a fantastic story he's been, and what a great sire for you guys, and just a phenomenal situation.
Yeah, he turned into a good broodmare sire, and you know, with Tis the Law being out of a Tis Now mare by constitution, it's really exciting. Kind of home and home.
Elliot, you mentioned that Tis the Law's by constitution, but so many of the brilliant stallions that are currently at WinStar represented in this year's Breeders' Cup races. Mentioned Tis Now, who sired Royal Approval, Lauban, sire of Simply Ravishing, Painter, represented by Nick's Go, who's going to be one of the favorites in the Dirt Mile, obviously Constitution with Tis the Law. You folks being the co-owners of Improbable and Global Campaign, it makes sense that when they retire that they would enter stallion duty at WinStar. But when it comes to a horse like Tom's D'Etat, how do you go about brokering that? How does that deal get done where he ends up at WinStar for the 2021 season?
Well, we were just always taken with his race record. We'd run against him a few times with Yoshida last year, and then to see what he came out, he beat Improbable in the first start this year at Oaklawn, and looked very good doing that. And then when he won the Stephen Foster in almost track record time, he just continued to enhance his resume, and being one of the last great sons of Smart Strike and from the family of Candy Ride, he's a very intriguing stallion prospect.
And from Mrs. Benson's standpoint, I mean, she's a very classy lady. I can't imagine she wouldn't want to have her horse at WinStar Farm, which is one of the most beautiful farms in the Bluegrass and a tremendous piece of land. I mean, it's like horse heaven. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a stallion at WinStar?
Well, I did. You know, it's interesting. When they came to Kentucky to buy Greenwood Lodge, they were looking at three or four farms, and they actually, we hosted them, and they stayed at Windstar on their visit when they went to look at farms to purchase. So we've known the Bensons for a while, and kind of were able to talk to them about the horse business a little bit during that time, and it kind of came full circle when we landed Tom's Daytona to come stand at Windstar.
Speaking with Elliot Walden, the president, CEO, and racing manager of Windstar Farm. It is Windstar Week all week here on the network. You can see their brilliant stallion roster right online at windstarfarm.com. Not only a list of all the stallions, great pictures of all the stallions, and their prices for the 2021 season. We've mentioned Constitution, Tis Now, Painter, Tom's Daytona, Global Campaign, Improbable, several other ones that are big names that are represented this year in Breeders' Cup races. Fed Biz, More Than Ready, Outwork has the great two-year-old Outador set to go on Future Stars Friday. Elliot, Windstar Farm, is this a place where in a normal year, maybe not in a COVID year, but in a normal year, people coming out to Lexington can ever tour the facility and maybe see these great racing heroes of recent years in the flesh?
Yes, absolutely. We're part of horse country, and so we're not doing tours right now because of COVID, but we support horse country and support what they're doing and, you know, what great opportunity for fans to come out and see the retired stars of yesterday, and we show the stallions that typically, I think, 3 days a week on the tour schedule at horsecountry.com.
Have we got any Joe Burrow names for some Windstar horses coming up?
We don't. We don't. We don't have Burrow was taken. So I know we've got Bengal fans, Steeler fans, everybody kind of fans on this network. But we're pretty excited about Joe Burrow and what he's going to do at Cincinnati.
Elliot, before we let you go, we have to ask this question. It's so rare to have so much interest in one race as Windstar does with this year's Breeders' Cup Classic. As we mentioned, you guys are the co-owners of both Improbable and Global Campaign. You bred Global Campaign. Improbable, Global Campaign, Tom's Daytona, all set to join the stallion roster at Windstar in 2021. And, of course, 'Tis the Law, being by Constitution. So everything being perfect, how does this race finish?
Wow, that's a good question.
We don't want you to make any enemies, but there has to be a perfect finish in
all,
the eyes
safely,
of Windstar.
We want it to be safe. Improbable will be the likely post time favorite. If he wins, it would add to his resume and kind of secure, I think, a Horse of the Year type campaign, being his fourth grade one on the year and his fifth grade one lifetime. So that would be a great result. But, you know, Global Campaign being a homebred and having won a grade one in the Woodward, it would definitely help enhance his stud career as well. And Tom's Daytona, the same thing. So, it would be just incredible. You know, it's just we feel very fortunate to be in the position we're in. As I watched the horses train this morning, all of them looked tough. Authentic looked great. Maximum Security looked good. So it's going to be a great classic, as Jude alluded to. I think it's one of the best ones in a while.
Yeah, it's really deep. You have another horse that's running on Saturday in the first race, Nashville, who's one of the most impressive horses we've seen run in a long time. He's in the Perryville Stakes. Talk about him for a minute. I know you were thinking about running him in the sprint. You made the decision to go in the easier spot, which I think was a great one. Talk about Nashville.
Really super talented. Just watched him go. He's breathing fire and excited to see him run again. And see how he goes into a stakes competition. But just super talented. We did entertain the idea of running in the sprint, but, you know, we've spent a year and a half trying to unwind him a little bit because he's very, very fast, very, very talented. He's one of those horses that wants to go all the time. And so we've spent a lot of time trying to be patient with him, and it just seemed like the wrong thing to do to just throw him in a deep field like the sprint with 14 horses and all of them accomplished. So that's why we decided to err on the side of the Perryville and then point for the, hopefully, if things go well Saturday, point for the Malibu at Santa Anita, the grade one at the end of the year for three-year-olds.
Excellent.
Elliot, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning, not only joining us here live on the show, but really appreciate WinStar being such a big part of Horse Racing Radio Network, not only this week, but all the time, and certainly wish you guys the best of luck on Breeders' Cup weekend.
Well, thank you, and just want to wish all the fans good luck and have a great Breeders' Cup. It looks like all the horses are training well, and let's all have a great Breeders' Cup.
Thanks so much, Elliot. Best to you. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll speak with Max Hodge, the Vice President of Client Services at Phasic Tipton. They have got a huge sale coming up starting this Sunday, and, of course, is the featured horses, the horses that we're all looking for, will go, I believe, on Monday the 8th, Jude, in that racing and breeding stock. Several of the runners from this year's Breeders' Cup will be there in the sales ring at Phasic Tipton in just a few days. We'll take another break. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020. And his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince's value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
What do these Breeders' Cup starters have in common? Swiss Skydiver, Tom's Daytaw, By My Standards, Serengeti Empress, CeCe, Improbable, Frank's Rocket, Ollie's Candy, Venetian Harbor, CZ Rocket, and Pirate's Punch. They all started at Oaklawn in 2020. Make plans now to join us for the richest winter race meet in the country from January 22nd to May 1st. Stall applications are now available at oaklawn.com. Oaklawn, a new level of racing.
Bolt Doro, America's fastest multiple Grade 1 winning juvenile since Uncle Mo. Bolt Doro scored dominating victories in the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity and Grade 1 Frontrunner Stakes, earning a 103 buyer speed figure, the fastest by a two-year-old since 2014.
We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the frontrunner.
Bolt Doro's first weanlings are electric. Look for them next week at Keeneland and Phasic Tipton. Bolt Doro, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
HRRN is your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Tune in Friday, November 6th, beginning at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday, November 7th, beginning at noon Eastern, as we bring you live coverage of every race on the Breeders' Cup card. The Breeders' Cup World Championships, only on HRRN. Tune in on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live on our website at horseracingradio.net.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
My So Free is poised in third position. Chief Honcho Rally's on the outside. Marquetry is also right there. Summer Squall is still 6 lengths from the lead now. Unbridled is coming with his rally, but he's 7 lengths from the front with a furlong to go. And Black Tie Affair, Brimley, trying to hold on to the lead. On the outside, Twilight Agenda. It'll be those two. Black Tie Affair on the inside, Twilight Agenda. Black Tie Affair and a front-running masterpiece of race riding here by Jerry Bailey does it. And then it was Twilight Agenda. The time here for the 8th Classic was 2:02:04.
Black Tie Affair winning the 1991 Breeders' Cup Classic. Great call, as always, by Tom Durkin. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, part of WinStar Week, all week here on the network. And the excitement doesn't end this Saturday, Jude. Yeah, there's great racing both tomorrow and Saturday, all the Breeders' Cup World Championships. But then we kind of shift the scene to the sales ring, and specifically Phasing Tipton. They have a huge sale starting on November the 8th at 2 p.m., and we're pleased now to be joined by Max Hodge, the Vice President of Client Services for Phasing Tipton. Max, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Really appreciate it, Max. A Black Tie Affair, Horse of the Year in 1991. He has Phasing Tipton ties. That was then. This is now. We're going to see a lot of big stars in today's game going through the sales ring at Phasing Tipton. This is always an exciting time of year because a lot of us who are more racing fans than bloodstock fans, maybe just because we know more about racing than we do about bloodstock, get to see some of our heroes or heroines showing up in the sales ring, and it kind of blows our mind, you know, the numbers, the prices that you get for them. But getting to see horses that we've seen for the past several years do such great things on the racetrack show up in the sales ring at Phasing Tipton and be sold either to continue their racing careers or head to the breeding shed. There are nine runners in this year's Breeders' Cup that are going through the sales ring at Phasing Tipton. How busy of a time is it for you folks at Phasing Tipton, and how exciting is this?
Well, this is one of our most exciting sales that we put together, one that we, you know, we work year-round on to get this catalog assembled. And it's something we very much look forward to. You know, to say there are nine fillies or mares that are going to run on Saturday and then ship over here and sell to new owners on Sunday, that's pretty spectacular to get to see them here on our facility and then to give people the opportunity to jump in at the highest level of the game is pretty special as well.
You know, when I was a kid, we used to wait for the Sears catalog, toy catalog, to come out, you know, when you ask Santa for a present. The Phasing Tipton catalog for this sale is very similar to me in that you just go through it and you see these horses that have done so much. And I mentioned the other day on the air that I was going to send Santa Claus a note and tell him I wanted Rushing Fall for Christmas, which I did. And I gave him a deal he couldn't refuse. I said, I'll just go pick her up. I'll send a van for her. You don't have to deliver her. So I'm hoping Santa buys that and brings me Rushing Fall. But what a fantastic group of horses that are going under the hammer. And you guys just do a phenomenal job every year, it seems like, to have the absolute best horses available.
Well, we appreciate it. And, you know, just looking at this year with Monomoy Girl, Midnight Bisou, Uni, Rushing Fall, I mean, those are all horses that you know, horses of a lifetime, and to assemble four of those in one sale is pretty spectacular. And you know, like you said, it's a Christmas list when you look at the index to Covering Sires, Curlin, Constitution, Into Mischief, Medallia d'Or, Nyquist, Tap, Uncle Mo, Wharf. I mean, it's just one after the other. I think the industry needs events and sales like this and like what we do at Saratoga. I mean, it's pretty special environment, and it's something I think that we all as an industry benefit from as well.
Yeah, the sale at Saratoga is just like one of the most fantastic experiences, and people come from all over, and it's such a great event. I mean, you know, HRN's been covering it for the last several years, and it's always a highlight to go there and be there and watch these beautiful animals, you know, that are so young and so full of promise go through the ring, and that's a highlight of the year for me as well.
Right, and this year with this sale, you know, you've got First Crop Babies by Justify and West Coast and Good Magic, Bolt Euro, Always Dreaming, City of Light. It's a really great collection of First Crop sires. So it's always great to to see that first group of hand-picked babies that, that we'll have here, as well as an example of the kind of horses these new sires are making.
Speaking with Max Hodge, the Vice President of Client Services at Phasic Tipton, they have a huge sale this Sunday beginning at 2 p.m. You can see the entire catalog on their website, phasictipton.com, phasigtipton.com. Max, when it comes to these runners of racing breeding age, racing breeding stock, is this something where they're coming to you looking to get into the sale, or is Phasic Tipton going out and trying to recruit runners for future sales at Phasic Tipton?
The majority of them are recruiting efforts. You know, we'll start early on and try to build relationships, establish relationships with the connections for these top horses and potential top horses. You know, I think it's very much a relationship industry, and getting established and becoming friends and fans of these horses and the people that own them is a big part of it. And that's what helps us, you know, get those types of horses in our catalogs.
Well, you sell so many good horses during the year, every year, that you keep an eye on those horses, too, that have already been Phasic Tipton sold horses, Phasic Tipton customers, and then, you know, it's easy for you to go to those people and say, hey, look, you know, how about putting your filly in this sale, you know, they're like members of the family already.
Absolutely. We take a lot of pride in the horses we sell and following up with those horses and creating marketing plans for the sales that they came out of, and then marketing plans for the horses as we get them back and have the opportunity to reoffer them as broodmares or racing broodmare prospects or info mares. It's something that's we take a lot of pleasure and pride in and try to do our very best for everyone.
Max, you mentioned that Midnight Bizu is one of several that will be in the sale this year. She was actually supposed to be offered up last year after the Breeders' Cup at Phasic Tipton, but her owners, including our good friend Jeff Bloom, had a change of heart and decided to take her out of the sale and keep her in training for themselves for 2020, and it turned out to be the right decision because she finished second in the Saudi Cup and made several million more dollars in racing. But how heartbreaking is that? Midnight Bizu was certainly the marquee name, one of several really, really big names, but the marquee name last year. You know, how tough is it when these kind of things happen? Because it can happen. Yes, they're entered in the sale, but you know, they're not in the sale until they actually go through the ring.
Yeah, it can be heartbreaking from a sales company's perspective. And they, you know, a lot of people will withdraw horses for a variety of reasons. So some hurt worse than others. Obviously, you know, if the horse has an issue where she can't show up, you know, that's completely understandable. And sometimes it's a change of heart. Sometimes they ran too good. Sometimes they ran too bad in their last start. So it's always a little bit of a bitter pill, but it does happen. It's part of it. And this sale actually probably has a higher scratch rate from not only foals, but fillies and mares than any other sale that we conduct. But that's just part of it, and you take it all in stride and do the best you can with what you have left and hope to get them back the following year like we've done with Midnight Bizu.
Well, Max, we certainly wish you the very best with the sale, not only this sale, but everything going on, sales in the future with Phasic Tipton. Thank you so much for being part of our coverage on the Breeders' Cup Countdown all week. And really an impressive catalog that starts at 2 p.m. this Sunday, all right there on the Phasic Tipton website, phasictipton.com. Thanks again, Max. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, guys. And, Bobby, I've got a little confession to make. When we used to do the sale in, at Calder, I used to steal your snacks from your booth up there.
Well, first of all, they didn't give me a whole lot of snacks, so those must have been ones that I spent my own money on.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. All right.
Well, That's all right. One day, you know, when the world gets right again and I'm actually able to travel to Lexington and we'll see each other again, whether it's, you know, down the road from the Derby next year or somewhere at Keeneland, I'll let you buy me a slice of pizza.
That sounds good. I look forward to it.
All right, Max. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Max Hodge, the Vice President of Client Services at Fasic Tipton. Boy, they have a huge sale coming up this Sunday. A lot of weanlings, a lot of runners of for racing and breeding stock. You can see it all on their website, FasicTipton.com. We're going to take another quick break. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Adina Spring Stallion, Mucho Macho Man. Tough, sound, durable. A stakes winner at 3, 4, 5, and 6 who competed in all three Triple Crown races before turning 3 years old and capped a stellar career with a determined victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic over champions Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home! Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War! Will Take Charge, a final man! Mucho Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mucho Macho Man has produced two first crop grade one winners, one on dirt.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup. He won it by 5 lengths.
And one on turf.
And the California bred Mucho Unusual all the way in the Rodeo Drive.
The number one North American sire by 2020 average earnings per runner is Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs.
The championship season returns to Gulfstream Park this December. Thoroughbred stakes action returns with the claiming crown, the Fort Lauderdale, the Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup, the Fountain of Youth Stakes, the Grade 1 Florida Derby, and much, much more. Stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with the First Bet app, the official app of Gulfstream Park. First Bet offers AI-predicted picks, high-definition live stream races, replays, and live betting from the palm of your hand.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hey everyone, this is Mike Penna, the Baron of the Backstretch. Join me every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on the Equine Forum. Each week, I'll bring you interviews with the biggest names in racing as I take you inside the world of thoroughbred racing and breeding and discuss the sport's hottest topics. So make plans to join me every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. It's the Equine Forum on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Theatrical has power to the front. Now as the field turns for home, the Arc winner taking aim on the outside. Trampolino set down for the drive. Trampolino taking the lead. A furlong from the wire, but Theatrical has game and he's coming right back. The American, the European, and it is Theatrical in front. Trampolino driving hard. Full out. Is it trying to get him? And here is the wire. And Theatrical has won it. Absolutely spectacular. What more could you ask for? One of America's greatest cross performers, Theatrical, and he ran the race of his life this afternoon to defeat the determined European Trampolino in the Breeders' Cup Turf.
The 1987 Breeders' Cup Turf, the best American turf horse, Theatrical, defeating the best European turf horse, Trampolino, the winner of the Arc de Triomphe that year, in a thrilling stretch duel at Hollywood Park. Doesn't always work out that way, but that year the Americans bested the Euros in the turf. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, part of Windstar Week, all week here on the network. In fact, let's update you on what's going on this week here on the network. Of course, this will be a final Breeders' Cup Countdown show of the year. We do have Race Day presented by Twin Spires today at from 3 to 6 p.m., followed by the Brisnet Call-In Show, 6 to 7 p.m., featuring Anthony Stabile and Ed DeRosa. The live racing coverage starts tomorrow. Future Stars Friday, the Breeders' Cup World Championships. We will be live here on the network with all of the Breeders' Cup events, Sirius 219, XM 201, and online at horseracingradio.net. In fact, you can see our entire schedule there on the website. Just click on schedule. The Breeders' Cup coverage from 2:30 to 5:30 tomorrow. Then a bonus 90-minute edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts from 5:30 till 7 p.m. Saturday, it's the show that launched a network. The Equine Forum goes from 8 to 10 a.m. Great cast of characters on the show this Saturday. Mike Pena speaks with Al Stahl as he talks about Breeders' Cup contender Tom's D'Etat. Daily Racing Forum's Marty McGee shares his thoughts on Breeders' Cup Friday, as well as looking forward to Saturday's top storylines. Track announcers Larry Colmus and Kurt Becker look back on calling American Feral in the 2015 Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland. Dallas Baker from BetMakers Technology Group discussing Authentic's attempt to take home the BetMakers Bonanza, plus our Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris, and much, much more. Once again, the Equine Forum, 8 to 10 a.m. on Saturday. And almost immediately after that, live coverage of the Breeders' Cup on Saturday, 12 p.m. to 5:30, all of the Breeders' Cup races. You can hear them Friday and Saturday right here on HRRN. We mentioned that this is Windstar Week all week here on the program. Happy to have Windstar as part of our Breeders' Cup countdown. Jude, we talked about it earlier. Windstar is all over these 2 days of the Breeders' Cup. They have eight runners representing their stallions on Friday, six runners on Saturday representing their stallions. They co-own Improbable and Global Campaign, two major players in the Breeders' Cup Classic. They actually bred Swiss Skydiver in Global Campaign, and if that all is not enough, Improbable, Global Campaign, Tom's D'Etat, all set to join the stallion roster at Windstar in 2021. I don't know how they're going to keep all their eyes on these prizes. They just have so much going on this weekend, Jude.
Yeah, well, they're used to being in the spotlight and having a lot of good stallions on the farm and a lot of great stallions on the farm. More Than Ready, my favorite. But, you know, they do a great job, and it's such a beautiful place. And when the tours start up again, if you're in Lexington, you got to go see Windstar Farm. I mean, it is unbelievable. If you think of the best hotel you've ever been in and multiply it by about 10, that's what Windstar Farm is for a horse. And Elliot does a great job, and they just have a tremendous organization, a great rehab facility, training track, all of that stuff. It's phenomenal, and they deserve the success. They've put a lot of money into the game and a lot of effort, a lot of hard work by many, many people, and can't say enough nice things about them.
No, we certainly wish them the best of luck, not only this weekend, but going forward. You can see all of their stallion roster right on their website, windstarfarm.com. Not only do they have the names of all the horses that will be on the roster, their prices for 2021, but actually great picks of all these runners, and you know, you really get to see the muscle tone, the shine of the coat. These are very, very good pictures that they put on the website, and you get to see some of your favorite horses from the past several years right there on the stallion roster at Windstar Farm. Speaking of some of our favorite horses over the last several years, we just had a chance to speak with Max Hodge from Fasic Tipton. Fasic Tipton has got a huge sale starting this Sunday at 2 p.m. A lot of weanlings to start off the sale, then runners racing and breeding stock. Nine runners in this year's Breeders' Cup races are set to go through the sales ring at Fasic Tipton shortly after they race in the Breeders' Cup. In the Midst of Biz, Sally's Curlin, Got Stormy, Into Mystic, Rushing Fall, Uni, Monomoy Girl, Point of Honor, and Valiance, all being offered in the November sale, which starts on Sunday at Fasic Tipton. If you want to see their entire catalog, just log on to their website, fasictipton.com. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we will be joined by Acacia Courtney, who is live on the grounds at Keeneland. She has got a lot to say about what she's seen this morning. You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN.
When a horse breathes in during exercise, a strong suction force is exerted on the outer walls of the fragile pulmonary capillaries. Think of it like a vacuum cleaner in the air sacs of the lungs, pulling on the outside walls of the capillaries. This, combined with high blood pressures inside the capillaries, causes the capillaries to rupture, resulting in EIPH. By reducing resistance when breathing in, flare strips turn down the suction on the vacuum cleaner in the lungs to reduce EIPH. See the evidence at flarestrips.com.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020. And his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince's value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport comes business advisory expertise providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence. Located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton, business advisors, CPAs, consultants. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Get in-depth handicapping advice on the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman look forward to all of the weekend's biggest stakes races and break down each one with expert analysis. Get a jump on the competition with the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, Fridays at 6 on Sirius 219, XM 201, or streaming at horseracingradio.com.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Stevens going to a vigorous left-handed whip, holding on by two. Goodbye, Halo is charging hard. Here comes Personal Ensign, unleashing a furious run on the outside, but it is still winning colors. Goodbye, Halo. Personal Ensign, a 16th of a mile from the wire. Winning colors is there. Personal Ensign, a dramatic finish, and here is the wire, and it is Personal Ensign there with winning colors in a photo. Very close. At the 16th pole, it looked like Personal Ensign was facing her first defeat, but in those final 110 courageous yards, she certainly proved herself a champion this afternoon.
Another brilliant race call by Tom Durkin, that the 1988 Breeders' Cup Distaff Personal Ensign getting up in the final jump to remain undefeated and nail winning colors on the line. Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Jude Fell, part of WinStar Week all week here on the network. Pleased now to be joined by our eyes and ears on the ground at Keeneland, Acacia Courtney. Acacia, welcome back.
Hey, Bobby, thanks so much.
Acacia, you've had busy mornings the last two mornings, a lot to report. I know this morning is no different, especially because it's the first time that you and anyone at Keeneland has gotten to see the Coolmore runners, the Aiden O'Brien brigade. They cleared quarantine out on the track for the first time today.
They did. We got a chance to see them out on the track, and actually I'm in my car right now and just watched about six of the 11 come by on the horse path heading back over to the quarantine barn, and it's just so fun seeing them in the maroon caps and all in their Aiden O'Brien Coolmore gear and all suited up. They went out on the track and just jogged in the straight line, a very imposing sight to see them out there. They kept along the outside rail, and I watched actually over on the backside by the gap. So great to kind of be up close and get a chance to see all of the runners, and it really is just kind of a sight to see. And I love that Aiden O'Brien has continued to run horses here in the Breeders' Cup and come with such a strong contingent, as it looks like he is loaded once again for potentially a big weekend.
Yeah, he's been in a little bit of a winning slump at the Breeders' Cup, but he's undeterred. I mean, you got to love the guy. He's so game, and the way he talks about horses, I could listen to him, you know, on a loop, just talking about his horses and how thoughtful he is of every little idiosyncrasy that a horse has, and his opinions on whether they're going to like firm ground or soft ground or whatever. The guy's just a machine. He's amazing. And to watch those horses come out, I said this morning, it's like awe before the sacred. You can't believe what you're seeing. It's just phenomenal.
It really is, and he's somebody, Jude, that I would love to just have a chance to sit down with and just pick his brain and just listen. Like you said, listen to him talk about horses. I feel like every time he does an interview and kind of giving either post-race or pre-race comments, you really learn something about the horse, and it really is impressive. And I think you get that from a lot of the top guys in racing, like speaking to a Todd Pletcher or somebody like that who has so many horses but can so easily recall the features of each of his runners. Like you said, the little idiosyncrasies, the quirks. It's really very impressive to me, and I think that's the good horseman, is that they really see each of them as an individual. So Aiden O'Brien, as we know, has a lot of runners, but he knows their strengths and their weaknesses, too. And, yes, there's definitely strength in numbers. And, like you said, trying to get that Breeders' Cup win, where I saw a stat that he hasn't actually won a race in the U.S. in a couple of years, since I think it was 2018. So I think a master horseman, and one that it's just fun to kind of see his operation at work at a big event like this, the Breeders' Cup.
Acacia, when we have 14 races and so many big name runners covering these 2 days, it's hard to cover everyone. There are a few horses that we haven't talked a lot about that have big chances over the weekend, especially when we get to the sprint division. Yopan, Firenze Fire, yeah. Oleksandra, three very talented runners that we haven't gotten to talk about that much. Have you gotten a chance to see them on the track?
I did today, which was great. And Yopan and Firenze Fire, and actually Oleksandra as well, as she won the Jaipur in New York. I've gotten to know these horses through their races and their last couple of starts. And, of course, a big blow to the sprint with Bacoma being a scratch yesterday due to a temperature for trainer George Weaver. So that will make Yopan a very short price. But I think rightfully so, as he is undefeated. He's a striking animal. He's really, really beautiful. And today out there on the track, he was really just well contained. He was kind of had his neck bowed. You see that arch of the neck out there on the track. His coat looked amazing. And actually, to my eye, since I last saw him in the Chick Lang, it looks like he's put on a little bit of weight, which is always a good thing to see that they're carrying good condition and just seeming to be in really good form. So he was striking out there on the track. Firenze Fire saw him out as well. He looked, as kind of we've been talking with some of these other horses, as the cool weather, I think, makes him feel pretty fresh, too. He looked like he was just ready to go. He was pulling on his rider. He was just well forward, just really kind of into the bridle and looking like he was full of run this afternoon. And then what I was really impressed by, because I've seen her race, but I haven't seen her out in the mornings before, that was Oleksandra. I talked yesterday about the draw reins on one of the European runners, as it's that extra attachment underneath to the girth to keep the head in a frame. Oleksandra was out in draw reins, and it helped to keep that frame, keep their that arch in the neck, keep their head carriage lower, especially when they can be difficult. But unlike Miss Amulet, the European filly I saw yesterday, Alexandra was not pulling on a rider. She was responding to all of the cues, beautifully touting herself out there, and she'll face the boys again this weekend. But I got to say, she really won me over this morning.
She's very talented and has a great late turn of foot. And draw reins are not unusual for Neil Drysdale. He likes to use them probably more than a lot of other trainers. So she is something else. I don't know, you know, what kind of trip she's going to get and if she's going to be at the absolute top of her game off the little layoff that she's had, but she can really run.
Yes, she can. I mean, she got a good setup last time in the Jaipur with a lot of speed in there, but she's just been so consistent, and I love that she's taking a shot against the boys again, and she's just a really easy mare to root for, and I loved how she was carrying herself in the mornings. It's obviously a very tough task, but I think especially now the biggest thing is to see them looking like they're acting and feeling well, and she's definitely showing all of those signs.
Talking with Acacia Courtney, who's live at Keeneland. Acacia, the Breeders' Cup Classic this year is just a who's who of great runners. So many super talented runners in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic event. And there are two in particular, Tom's d'Etat and Maximum Security, who have run races in the past that would easily make them the ones to beat in the Breeders' Cup Classic. But neither of them won their last starts. They both had troubled starts or didn't have the best of trips. Have you gotten to see either of them in these past 3 days?
I did get a chance to see both of them this morning. I had seen Maximum Security out kind of in the Baffert group the last couple of days, but saw him on the track by himself and got a chance to see Tom d'Etat as well, who I haven't seen personally since the Whitney in Saratoga. And Tom d'Etat, a seven-year-old now, and I know Al Stahl has just had to show a tremendous amount of patience with him, and definitely hats off to him in getting this horse back to the Breeders' Cup and back to a high level. He's always the type of horse that just his coat, it's like almost like you can see your reflection in it, just a picture of health. Now, I will say he's a little bit of a bigger body type than I remember, and he's coming off a bit of a layoff since the Whitney. There were some others that I thought looked a touch more tucked up, but now at a seven-year-old, and Jude, I'm sure you can attest to this as well, I've noticed as they get a bit older, they tend to carry their weight a little bit more. So if you're seeing that about Tom d'Etat, I wouldn't put it as a negative. As he's an elder statesman in the group. You've got Kids Law, who's an authentic, who are three-year-olds facing a seven-year-old here in Tom d'Etat. So again, just looking and feeling good. Maximum Security out on track for Bob Baffert, as he was defeated last time, and I have not seen him since he's moved to the barn of Bob Baffert. I did see him previously when he was with Jason Service, and he's always been a very laid-back type of horse. And in contrast to Authentic and Improbable, who are not laid back in any way, shape, or form, it was fun getting to see him out on track because he was very well contained by his rider, not really having to struggle with him at all. Just an easy, slow gallop out there on the track this morning.
Acacia, really appreciate you joining us these last 3 days. Before we let you go, any others that caught your eye this morning or interesting storylines?
I did see a couple running in the dirt mile. I think Art Collector, an incredible storyline, of course, for Tommy Drury, as he gave him his first big win in the Bluegrass this year, and just the support that owner Bruce Lunsford has showed to him. I got a chance to meet Tommy and speak with him a bit before the Preakness, and minor foot issues keeping Art Collector out of the Kentucky Derby. They took a shot in the Preakness. He ran okay, not as well perhaps as they would take, but to be honest, having seen him that week and looking at him here, he looks more of a mile type to me, so I like him turning back. Unfortunately, he has a tough inside post, but he does what I saw him do at Preakness every morning. He'll come out on track and he'll just stand there and take everything in for several minutes before going out to do his gallop or whatever it is that he'd be doing in the morning. So it was cool getting to see that once again, just a sign of a really intelligent type of horse. So he's one I like turning back. Again, tough post inside, but I'm rooting for him and seeing that intelligence and that kind of quiet confidence from Art Collector out this morning was fun as well.
Art Collector looking to rebound off really not his best effort in the Preakness last time out. We actually had a chance to speak with both Brian Hernandez and Bruce Lunsford a couple days ago on the program, and Bruce was saying that he really thinks the fact that Art Collector just has to get on a van and go an hour down the road from his home instead of getting on a plane and going to Baltimore will really, really help his chances. He's drawn well down toward the inside. He's a fan favorite. He's kind of become I don't want to say a cult hero, Acacia, but he's a horse that a lot of people root for. You know, such great stories with Brian Hernandez and Tommy Drury, such sadness that they thought they were going to finally get to the Kentucky Derby in 3 or 4 days out. A minor issue forces them out. He probably would have been the second choice in the race, but comes into the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and, he's one of the ones, in fact, both he and Mr. Money, I think, have chances in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile.
Got to see Mr. Money today, too. His rider keeping very, very, very short reins. His feet kind of pushed forward as he was just trying to hold him back from doing too much. And that's the biggest thing this week. These horses are ready. This is the best of the best. And it's great being out in the morning because one looks better than the next. I mean, obviously, you're going to have ones that you prefer, but every horse is coming in here fit, top class, just a tremendous animal. And I think it's really awesome getting a chance to see them up close. And for me, that's what I enjoy most, being out in the mornings and kind of seeing them in their element, because these are really the best that our sport has to offer this weekend. And seeing some of the matchups that we're going to get, seeing how just ready to roll these horses are, it's making me really excited for tomorrow and Saturday.
Acacia, thanks for everything the past 3 days. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you so much, Bobby and Jude. I've enjoyed talking with you, and good luck to you both as well.
Acacia Courtney, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Grade 1 winner and track record setter Lee. Like their sire, his runners have excelled on both dirt and turf, including these standout performers.
Setting the mood as she draws off to win by as much as she wants. Gibberish for E5 Racing Thoroughbred. She won by 5 in the end.
With juveniles selling over $400,000 and yearlings bringing up to $650,000. The sky's the limit for this promising young stallion. Lee, standing at Claiborne Farm.
On Sunday, November 8th, after the Breeders' Cup, Fasig Tipton will offer a catalog of exceptional quality all in one spectacular session. A night of stars featuring champions, Breeders' Cup winners, classic winners, leading race fillies, world-class broodmares, and selected weanlings. Nearly 50 graded stakes winners and producers catalog, no less than 26 of which are Grade 1. The world's premier breeding stock event, the November Sale, November 8th in Lexington, Kentucky. With online bidding available, where will you be?
When a horse breathes in during exercise, a strong suction force is exerted on the outer walls of the fragile pulmonary capillaries. Think of it like a vacuum cleaner in the air sacs of the lungs, pulling on the outside walls of the capillaries. This, combined with high blood pressures inside the capillaries, causes the capillaries to rupture, resulting in EIPH. By reducing resistance when breathing in, flare strips turn down the suction on the vacuum cleaner in the lungs to reduce EIPH. See the evidence at flarestrips.com.
There's a corner of Kentucky in Bourbon County, which some refer to as the Promised Land. There's something in the soil and water that make it something special. So special that some of the world's greatest horsemen have staked their claim in the soil just outside of Paris. Iconic names such as Claiborne, Coolmore, Stone, and Darley grace the fence lines which have housed champions for generations. The name Alapa shines as a tribute to the Gilded Age, sharing the stature and grandeur of its neighbors. Born from the wealth, passion, and imagination of Edward Sims, no expense was spared to fulfill his vision. Sims was in the same league as John Madden and Arthur B. Hancock Sr. as a commercial breeder. The torch has been passed. Welcome to Hill and Dale at Alapa.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Breeders' Cup Countdown here on HRRN, part of Winstar Week, all week on the network. Well, that wraps up our third and final Breeders' Cup Countdown show here on HRRN. Jude, it's been a lot of fun all week, and I feel like we've gained some knowledge going into the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, hopefully everybody got some information that they were seeking, and for my friend Julie and everybody else that asked, good night, Barbados.
Don't forget you can listen to all of the Breeders' Cup races live here on HRRN, 2:30 to 5:30 tomorrow, noon to 5:30 on Saturday, Sirius 219, XM 201, or streaming live on the HRRN website, horseracingradio.net. For my co-host Jude Fell, producer Lee Delapina, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us all week. You've been listening to the Breeders' Cup Countdown on HRRN.